It's Belly.
And it's Ashel here.
And welcome back to another episode of BDSP. Woo! How you feeling today, Ash?
I'm good.
That's good.
I'm like not here, but I'm not here, guys.
Wait, you said you're not here, but you're not here?
I'm here, but I'm not here.
Oh, what does that mean?
I kind of dismissed myself. I was going to dismiss myself. I was going to say I'm here for moral support, but I am going to be speaking if necessary.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I got you. Well, guys, it's been quite some time. It's been 2 months since we've been in the studio together, but the last time we recorded, we actually didn't upload that.
Yo, I forgot that happened. Oh my God.
We had a really good episode and then everything just shut down on us.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Damn.
Everything just shut down on us. So, like, it stopped recording. Towards the end, though, we still have a good chunk of it, but then my laptop broke.
Yo, I didn't even realize that happened.
I uploaded it, so.
Did I upload it?
No, you didn't upload it, but it's uploaded to our Dropbox.
Okay.
So, it's there. So, at least our last recorded, episode on my laptop is on the Dropbox.
Okay.
Because everything else is gone. Thank goodness.
Wow.
I uploaded everything.
Yeah.
Thanks to you, because you be asking, and that's the only reason I upload it. nothing has changed.
No, that's not true.
I was about to lie.
That's not true. There's a few things that have changed.
Okay, let's know. What's changed?
You have a tan.
You're not that ass.
You have a tan.
We're running to the end of summer, and that's what you're telling me has changed. So that means I've been in the sun. Yes, it's really good. Yes, guys, I have a lot of sun time. I have a really nice tan, and I enjoy it. Is that the changes you were talking about?
I shot one out there.
No, but on a serious note, guys, I just spent 2 months out of the country, and so this is, like, Ash and I's first real rekindling since I've been back, but we actually met up in a different country.
Dope.
We were like...
That's so dope to
say. That's so cool, because we went separately,
yep.
And then, like, we just kept on meeting up. We went to Grenada for Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It honestly was a time.
Yeah.
I keep saying I did not have a time. A time had me. And it was just so cool to have so many different friends there. And then it's just like, literally, I'm messaging Ash, like, where are you at? And she's just like, I'm behind truck number 2.
Yeah.
And I'm literally searching for her. Like, it was such a good time.
No, yeah. Spice Mask will see me again.
For sure.
It was incredible.
For sure. But before I went to Grenada, I actually spent a little, 7 weeks in Guatemala. And that was truly an interesting experience. It wasn't my first major trip. It was my first major solo trip. So I've spent 7 weeks out of the country before. That was, 2017. And mm-hmm. then 2018, I did another tour. So I haven't traveled the world like this since 2018. Did I do anything in 2019? I probably did, but it was probably something
shorter.
Small.
It was shorter. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I have a little cold. So this was my first major solo trip, and it was impactful for so many ways. The method of traveling, just all of it was just completely new for me. I did partial backpacking, and guys, shout out to the backpackers of the world, because I realized that I am not. but it was such a, like I said, it was such a good experience. So I don't even know where to start.
I would love if you started with, the immersion into it. Like, you looked like you were in a forest majority of your trip. Your first stay, you looked like you were just immersed in trees and the forest.
I was in a place called Lake Atitlan. It's a major lake, and it has 3 volcanoes. They're all inactive on the lake. Fun fact, there's a lot of rose quartz around there, so there's an energy to the lake that a lot of healers come from all over the world, and they spend time there because the energy there is generally revitalizing. There's something, everyone's always like, oh, Lake Atitlan is magical, it's magical, and it absolutely is. I spent 2 weeks there before my Airbnb got robbed. Yeah, that was a story. But I spent 2 weeks there, and my Airbnb was truly just around, nature. I had, a nice little hammock. Every morning I woke up, I have my tea. I, you know, stretched, you know, I just talked to the plants. I would go on hikes. Like, I would go out to, you know, I wouldn't call it the market. I would just go out to my neighbors, the people in the town, and I would just buy fruits and veggies from them. And I was pretty much grocery shopping every day because all I mainly ate was fruits and veggies. Yeah. I couldn't find meat because I would have to go to a different town on the lake to get the meat. Because the market was like on Sundays and I would always miss it. But I really ate more of like a clean life. Like, I just had such a clean eating over there. Yeah. I was making my own green seasoning. Ugh, life was so good, guys. Yeah. I'm really struggling readjusting. But anyways, that time was really great solitude time because I think those first 2 weeks I interacted with very little people.
Yeah.
If I'm interacting with someone, it was really just to say hi, say bye, to, you know, pay for food, just general conversation.
Just to go back and forth on the, what is it called?
The lancha.
The lancha.
Which is like the Dolovan of the sea. It's boats, guys, but it was giving Dolovan. Like, it, you know, it was giving Utica, Utica, because they really was like, you know, like San Marcos, San Marcos, Pana Pana. And I was like, yeah, this is really the Dolovan of the sea. But like, I was really more so to myself. A lot of my walks, a lot of my adventures were just very like, what's the word I'm looking for? Just impulsive out of nowhere. And I was working while there. And I think I had mentioned I was leaving in the last episode. Oh, that was not recorded. So this is just all new information for you guys.
Right.
So I guess I should just jump back a bit and say, like, I prepped mentally for this trip before going on this trip. I stopped listening to a lot of music. I was really listening to only affirmative music. You know, anything that made me feel good, I was listening to. I think it's called solfeggio frequencies, which is frequencies for healing, frequencies for just tapping into the world and the universe. And that's kind of really what I was listening to. I was stretching. I was out in, you know, nature quite often every day. Like, I was really kind of in tune with myself. And my biggest goal was to really just trust myself. I felt like for the longest, I lost my sense of self. I lost my ability to listen to my own instincts, and so part of this trip was for me to really regain that.
Yeah.
And I can say, while it's not where I want it to be, I definitely have a better sense of self when it comes to trusting myself in all that I do. Because, guys, there were situations I got into and I was like, my friends and family are praying for me right now, and I'm doing the exact opposite of what they're praying for. But I did it with a smile on my face and no worries in my heart.
Yeah.
Because I trusted myself. None of the situations made me feel uncomfortable to the point where I was like, And if something made me feel uncomfortable, I didn't question it. I just didn't go to it. You know, like, I would express a situation is making me uncomfortable. I think there was only one time where I met these gentlemen and they wanted me to come with them somewhere. Like, there's like this deli. I'll say a deli. And behind the deli was like a room where they would chill and like just more houses and stuff. And they wanted me to come with them and chill because they're like, oh, you know, we're standing outside, like, you know, whatever the case is. And I was just like, no, I don't feel comfortable going in. Like, I verbally expressed it to them.
Yeah.
And I didn't go in. They didn't push me. They didn't nudge me. They were just, you know, they accepted it. Like, what y'all gonna do, you know, kidnap me with, like, 20 people around? I mean, you can try, but they didn't.
Thank God.
And I think that was the only situation where I really, truly felt uncomfortable, but I spoke up about it, and then I went home, and I took a nice nap. Like, it was good, you know? But those first 2 weeks, I made a friend, and that friend, shout out to you, he was my motorcycle instructor, and he actually came there for a vacation, and he never left.
Wow.
He came there a couple months before the pandemic, and he was supposed to just visit a friend for a little bit, then the pandemic happened, and he never left. Now he's building a house. He just recently messaged me and was like, yeah, I'm planting my avocado trees. And I'm like, wow, this is a long-term investment.
Yeah, trees.
Because it takes a while for avocado tree to grow.
Yep.
So it was just so cool to meet people who just ended up there. And then, like, every time anyone asked me, like, you know, what are you doing in Sununa? Because Sununa was the quieter town. Not many people who travel would come to that town because there's not much to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, I just happened to find myself here. Like, I stumble upon this Airbnb. I knew nothing about the space before coming.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, why Guatemala? Why Lake Atitlan? Why Sununa? And I'm like, guys, I don't know why. I just happened to stumble upon it.
Yeah.
And they all looked at me like, yeah, you're going to be back.
Yeah.
We know what journey you're on. Like, everybody exactly. Kind of had that sync response every single time I told the story. And they were like, none of us truly came here for a purpose.
Yeah.
We just ended up here by chance. And they're all like, they created their own, you know, space. But I will say, I felt like a real gentrifier.
Yeah.
And so that was a big problem that I had.
You were the transplant.
Yeah. And it's like, I kind of am happy that I left because I didn't like that feeling because I know what it feels like to be in my community and have people come into it and gentrify the location. And I feel like that was kind of what's happening to that area. While a lot of locals were, not locals, a lot of, you know, transplants or, you know, recently moved people, they, you know, were trying to work with the locals, hire only local people and have locals help run businesses. Yeah. It still isn't the same.
No.
You know, it was giving slight hippie vibes. You know, there were, to be frank, there were a lot of white people. Most people who decided to move there and stay there were white people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the travelers I interacted with were white.
Yeah.
But I just didn't, I kind of didn't want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to appreciate the place, but part of me knew I couldn't stay because I'm like, I don't feel like, there wasn't a connection between the locals and the immigrants. Yeah. I'm not calling them expats. They were immigrants. there wasn't a connection between them. There was like, they're in their world and the locals are in their world and some locals would interact, but the locals, they're Mayan.
Yeah.
And so they were really wary of having so many new people come in.
As any,
for good
any
reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
Any place would.
And so they were really just, it was a clear division.
Yeah.
And
you didn't feel integrated.
Yeah, there was no integration, very rarely. And it's funny, my motorcycle instructor / friend, shout out to you, Felipe, his girlfriend is a Mayan girl, so there was integration with him.
Yeah.
You know, so, and her family accepted him really well, apparently, according to him, because, you know, they gave them land. So it was cool for him, but that was a rare story.
Yeah.
And I felt so uncomfortable not being there, but being a gentrifier.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no problem paying the gentrified price. You know, if it was, you know, 5 or 2 quetzales to get to one place, they were charging us 15, 20 quetzales. And I paid it. And I paid it without complaining because I'm like, I'm in your space.
Yeah.
I'm trying to experience your land. You know, if you're trying to get a profit off of me, get that profit.
Yeah.
Because realistically speaking, I know and you know that this 10 to 20 quetzales hike that you're charging isn't affecting me the
At
way it's
all.
Affecting you.
Yeah.
And I was okay with paying it. I mean, once they started getting into the 40, 50, 60, I said, chill out now.
Yeah.
No. Okay, relax.
You know the tea.
Yeah, like, you know, I'll pay the price, but you're overdoing it. But I think that was one of my biggest challenges I had. And so kind of going back to the robbery, I'm safe. You know, for the most part, everything's good. It was crazy, but you know, I really wasn't stressed out about it. That made me have to uproot and move. And in that space, I think I was just kind of like, well, what do I do now? You know, some people were like, oh, are you going to go back home? And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
You know, things happen everywhere. And I didn't come here to get scared at a bad event and then run back home. So
yeah.
My mindset wasn't like, oh, well, home is a possibility. It was just more so, well, what do I do next? But I ended up, you know, going to different parts. So essentially throughout the trip, I started like really traveling throughout different parts of the country. The original plan was to spend a month in that area and then spend my last 2 weeks traveling. After completing it all, I'm now seeing how unrealistic that was because I would have really not experienced on more of the country as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, I feel like I kind of had to rush my, you know, time in certain places because I didn't want to just visit. I really wanted to kind of live.
And immerse yourself in
there. Yeah. And not just do what the tourists do, you know, but more so just like, okay, well, what does a boring day here look like?
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest things. Like, I wanted to be bored. I wanted to be like, damn, there's nothing to do. I guess I'll just want to walk.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of walk, I walk so much. I think there's one day where I walked 26,000
steps.
And I loved it. And I didn't even realize it. I looked at my phone. I'm like, damn. You know, like, but I truly loved it. I now am back to driving and I'm like,
yeah.
I feel so sluggish.
Yeah.
You know, I like the just getting up and how am I getting to a place I'm going to have to walk there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was so much transportation available that it wasn't really an issue if I needed to get from one place to the next. But because there's, like, a lot of hills and valleys there, you know, you have to do a good amount of walking. And I truly enjoyed that. So I definitely miss the amount of walking I'm doing. Like, I was watching my, you know, steps from coming back home to my average steps there. it went down by like 90%.
I mean, yeah.
Minimum. You've and got it a car. Sucks. It really sucks. You know, even if I go out and do my run doesn't equate to all the steps I'm doing. Like, you know, I'm driving to go run.
Yeah.
Versus me just going out. But it's fine. You know, it's a shift in environment. Another thing that I learned, I don't know what else I learned, guys. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I just want to commend you. Like, I just feel like all the stuff that you were saying, even while it was happening to you, you had the same presence. You were not worried or fearful. You were just kind of thinking about, okay, this is one step in the journey. Just, for you, it was just a part of the journey.
Like,
you pivoted so quickly. Like, all right, I'm not staying in this Airbnb anymore. Gotta find somewhere else to stay.
And I sure did.
For other people, that would have been the end of the world. In a different country where it's not the predominantly language, you're not the predominant person there.
At like, all.
It's scary for a lot of people.
And I can see that. I can see why it would be scary for a lot of people. But I think, you know, like I was recently talking to a client and they were, you know, they were asking about my travels because they obviously saw my different locations.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you know, I'm so scared about it. I want to do it, but I'm so scared. And I'm like, the scariest part is the thought of it.
Yeah.
Once you're there, you realize it's really not that scary. So, like, again, the idea, hearing it is just so much more worse than being in it.
I agree.
You know, because it's, again, it's like shit that happens everywhere, everyday life. Like, you know, I felt like as long as I have my health, my strength, and my most important items to get me along, and, you know, knock on wood, well, I'm good now, but, you know, even if my passport was taken, there's a consulate. It's not that hard to, you know, get a pass, get your temporary passport. If the difficulty in solving these problems is really not that hard,
mm-hmm.
I think just the idea of having to go through the issue again was what made the situation, or what makes the situation sound so much more difficult.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's what it was. Guys, there were nights I was stranded. I had nowhere to go. I had nowhere to sleep. Like, it was so much fun, though. It generally was fun because it pushed you. And there was, you know, as someone had once told me, you know, part of the fun of traveling when you face these problems is just seeing how you solve it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it was fun.
Problem solving, it's like you see a different side of you.
Yeah.
You learn more about yourself.
Yeah, it was so cool. And, like, it really showed me that, like, I really just be chilling. Like, yeah. I know I be chilling, but I really
just literally, because, like, 10 people just heard that and just signed off. Like, no way. Should have said stranded. We was with you till we wasn't with you.
But being stranded was my fault. Like, it was really my fault. I got way too caught up in what I was doing, and I forgot to book a hostel. And that's another thing, guys. The idea of a hostel in America versus everywhere else, hostels are literally hotels. They have the luxury. You're just sharing rooms with people either you know or you don't know. And that's really it.
That's the scary part. Like, I think hostels over here are the same. Like, they have hotel hostels, but people don't like the idea of being with a stranger.
But that's what I'm saying. When you get there, it's great. That's how you make friends, especially when you're solo traveling.
Yeah, that's
people
true.
Are, oh, where are you from? Oh, what do I sound like I'm from?
Oh,
and then, like,
God.
We're guessing each other's accent. And then, like, some people that are from the same place, they're like, oh, my God, which part? And the other person's like, well, I'm from da-da-da-da-da. And it was just so cool. And they're like, oh, how long are you here for? What do you do? Like, it was a really good way to get to know people. And that's how I got to know a lot of great people.
Yeah.
I have, you know, even more international friends. Like, I have international friends prior to leaving here. But now I have even more. Like, I have a group chat, and we're all from, like, different parts of the world. And we're literally planning, like, another link-up. Not right now. Sometime in the future. And, like, you know, we still keep up with each other's lives, travels, journeys. It's so much fun. And I have another friend. She's, you know, she's in Guadeloupe now, and she's like, just let me know when you're coming. And I'm surely going. Like, she was cursing me out the other day because we update each other in our lives. And we tell each other the tea. Like, you meet some people and, you know, you start telling them shit that you ain't tell people, your friends or your family. And it's because, one, you don't expect to see them again. But two, even if you do keep that relationship, it's like we live together for a little bit. We travel together. You know, if I can like you.
It's a different flex.
Right. If I can like you in traveling, babe, we're friends.
Yep.
You know, we're friends. Because that's how a lot of friendships and relationships break when you travel. You know, they always say you want to know who your friends are, travel with them.
Oof. Or live with them.
Yeah. You know?
New.
And so, and that's another thing about solo traveling that I truly enjoyed. I had the opinion of my and myself alone.
It's the best feeling in the world, and it, people don't believe it.
It was so, I, you know, and I think that's why I was so calm in all those situations when things happen. Because I feel like if I was with anyone else, it would have made it more of an issue.
Yeah, it would have been someone in your ear now, and you have to calm them down as well as deal with the situation.
And I'm naturally not a person to freak out in high tense situations.
Yeah.
High tension, there we go. Situations, so like, to have somebody else freaking out, just girl, we don't got time for this. It's not even that serious.
Chill and you're worried about the other person's safety now too. It's just another responsibility.
Yeah, and you know, like, oh, I don't feel comfortable staying here. Okay, girl. Well, where you want to stay?
Yeah,
we don't have many options.
The CD. Opinions. The you know, opinions.
I was okay with wherever I stayed, and even if I wasn't comfortable, I didn't really complain about it too much. I just was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna spend another night here. Yeah. Literally, it was just that simple. If I didn't like a place, I was just moving. Or if I liked the place, I extended my stay. And it was just as simple as that.
Yeah.
If I met people I wanted to travel with, which we kind of formed the group and we traveled together for a little bit, we enjoyed our time. We all split up and went our own ways. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, an anime, bro.
Bro, it was so... And that's the group I'm talking about. Like, I was just so grateful to have such an experience. Literally, we all met in the hostel.
Mm-hmm.
We all started talking. Two of them had already, like, liked each other from a couple days ago. They met, like, 3-4 days prior to meeting us, and we thought they were friends forever.
So you guys just added on? They added on to the group?
And they were like, we're just picking up strangers, and we were the strangers we picked up.
You could literally make a show out of this.
Yeah, and then we just traveled back to Atitlan together for a few days. They traveled, you know, to another part of Guatemala, and then I kind of, like, went my own way. I met someone who invited me to their family farm. And it was such an amazing experience. And, like, even that experience alone, I feel like if I was with a friend, they'd be like, oh, no, thank you. Mm. You know? And I would be like, well, I kind of want to go with the farmer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I kind of want to see what this person's about.
Now you got to deal with the guilt of separating.
Well, I wouldn't separate.
Oh, see?
I wouldn't.
I'm a separator.
You know? Because I'm just like, damn, like, we came here together. If you don't feel comfortable, then okay, fine. Like, you know, we can do whatever.
I don't need that.
See, and that's why I traveled. That's why I loved the being by myself aspect, because I didn't have to care about what anybody else wanted. I wanted to go meet a stranger.
It's freedom.
Yeah. And this person really was a stranger, and him and I kind of laughed about it for a bit. We were just like, nice to meet you. Mind you, this man picked me up in his truck on his way to this unknown location, and I'm shaking his hand like, oh, it's nice to meet you. And it's just like, you know, when you hear it, it's like, girl, that is not safe. But in the moment, going back to trusting my instincts, nothing about that situation alerted me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I went with it. And it was one of the best experiences being there.
I remember, like, everything you were learning about yourself and about the ideas. Like, you were literally a farmer for a little while. Like,
he was so learning. Cool. And just, like, even part of my eating habits now I can attribute to him because of, like, how he eats meat.
Yeah.
He only eats meat that, you know, had a good life.
Mm.
You know, he broke down the importance of, like, you know, why it is good to only eat meat that was treated well.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was explaining that to my stepfather recently, you know, he kind of chuckled and laughed at me, you know, I sounded like a millennial at heart. You know, I was really cookie cutter hippie for him.
Right.
But it was just like I was saying, like, now I'm in a space where, like, I can see why and where he's coming from with that mindset, with that ideology. And now I'm like, don't get me wrong, I just had my Chick-fil-A earlier today, and I mourned that would be my last one, but now I'm just like, I don't even want to eat the meat here, because it's coming from what, a lab? Because to be honest, now it's approved for lab.
Not just lab, these animals have been under duress.
They've
been struggling, crying, upset,
and that's docile. What we're putting into our body. We're already eating dead animals.
Preservative,
everything. And so it's like, I just learned about, you know, just even having even more gratitude. Like, some of these ideas weren't foreign to me.
Yeah.
But it was just about having another perspective, having it being cemented even more, where I'm just like,
now you can practice it.
Yeah. I want to practice it. And that's, it's affecting me a lot now in a good way. Oh, good and bad ways. But essentially, it's a good way. But yeah, I think throughout the trip, there was just so many moments where, like, I did things that I would not think, I wouldn't do, because I always knew I was a doer, like, in a sense, like, I'm considered, like, the wild child out of my family, like, you know, if somebody gonna do something crazy, it'll be Chevelle, it'll be Veli, you know, like, So it's not like if I'm like, oh wow, I didn't know I was this much of like a, you know, a free spirit, but it was more so like,
I hate that we have to label it like that.
I know, but it's like, damn, I really be doing shit, you know, like I think one of my best things that I did was jumping off a bridge, guys. It was the most exhilarating
You are
feeling
literally the
ever.
stereotype. If your friend jumped off the bridge, you
Yeah,
just
absolutely. I'm probably the friend that jumped off first. Because in the video, I was the friend that jumped off
Jeff jumped
first.
off first,
You know, and she thought I died. And then when she saw my head popped up, she
Oh my
jumped right after. I said,
God.
girl, it wasn't even 10 seconds when you saw my head before you jumped. You
Oh
didn't
my
question what was
God.
in that water. And she was like, well, I saw your head. But she thought I died. She literally started screaming, guys, guys, where is she? And meanwhile, to be honest, I was drowning a little bit.
Yo, thank God you found your footing.
You know what it is? Because I, when I went down, I thought that there was going to be like a floor. There was no floor.
You were
And the
expecting
water,
pool.
well, because the other area where we jumped off a little earlier, I felt like the
There was floor.
bottom. And I didn't feel that. And then the water was so like, it was rushing. You saw the video. The water, guys, was, it was intense. So
There's a
like,
current.
yeah, and the current was strong because it was just raining that morning. So that shit was going. And so, like, I'm in the water. I'm like, oh, there's no bottom. And in my mind, I'm like, I gotta get back to the top. And I'm like, oh, let me start swimming up. Then I realized, because, like, sometimes when you jump in, it's easy for you to come to the top. But I was like, no, I have to really swim to the top. So that's when I was like, okay, I literally started focusing on swimming and surviving. And at one point, right before I touched, like, the little, I felt air in my fingers, I was like, oh my God, I'm running out of breath. I was like, I gotta really do this. And I made it up, and you know, like, I did it. And I did it, and it was so exhilarating. The feeling of falling is crazy. It was a full freaking bridge, guys. Like, it was one something that people drive over. It wasn't like, oh, like, this is like, you know, the area you jump off. No, they were like, oh, this is the next part of the tourist. If you guys want to jump off a bridge, I'm like, what the fuck? Y'all clearly, because it was raining, we couldn't do a lot of what we were supposed to do for the excursion. So they were just making shit up at this
I
point.
love when they make shit up.
Well, now they got people jumping off bridges. So, but you know, like it was honestly, guys, I surprised myself because swimming has always been my weak point. Like I will do things. I'm so scared of heights, and I will do things that involve heights. Like I've just always tell myself it's okay to be scared, but it's not okay to let your fear hold you back.
Stop you from doing stuff.
Right.
It's
So I've always
irrational.
been like that, and so. Swimming though, it's like there you need skill. You need some type of, you know,
You
skill
need to
to
know how to
survive.
swim, yeah.
Right. And so that moment was more of a moment of like, not that I'm afraid to jump, I'm afraid of my swimming skills. And so the fact that I did it was again the trust in myself that I'm like, yo, I may not be the strongest swimmer, but bet your bottom dollar
I'm gonna
I'm
get up.
getting out of here.
Yeah,
Right?
I'm
'Cause like
going up
I'm
there.
and I was thinking about it, guys. I was the only black one. I'm not about to drown. The
Yeah.
embarrassment?
Yeah.
I am not shaming my family and my
You
people.
literally would have been the stereotype.
Exactly.
It would
And
have been
that
in
was in my
Spanish.
head.
Black woman,
La negra.
La negra comes to Guate and drowns on whatever bridge.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, in my head, that was another reason why I could not
Yeah, you had to put
drown.
on for everybody. You
Exactly.
had to
And nobody even realized that there was so much pressure on me, but me, I knew
You, all the pressure on your back.
it. So, like, I was just like, yeah, we making it out of here. If you're gonna jump, you're gonna get yourself back up. And I got myself back up, and it was just like, I was like, this is what happens when you trust in yourself. And it's funny because there was a girl in the video I showed you, the girl I was jumping with. When she jumped, she made a life-changing decision that day. She had to decide between major, like going to law school and doing something else. And it was a really good law school, but it was like a 5-year program. And she jumped in that water, she came out, and she was like, guys, I had a revelation. I'm not gonna go to that law school because if I go to that law school, I'm not gonna be able to live the way I'm living now. I'm gonna have to be tied to this, and I don't know if I want that enough. And she was battling that up until she jumped. And I was just
Wow,
like, it's
it
so
was
cool to
releasing for
be,
her.
yeah. And I was like, it's so cool to be a part of this experience for you. I was like, yo, we need a shot to you. And we did take a shot later on in the hostel, like congratulating her on making a decision. Like she, in her eyes, there was like a sparkle in her eye. She was just like, I really, like, she couldn't believe she had that revelation because it was something that was so heavy on her chest. She didn't express it to us until after she jumped, but that jumped is what gave, like, the answer came to her in that moment. And we were both scared. We were both about to jump together. Shout out to you, Ella. Like, you got it, girl. I'm proud of you.
Right.
But, you know, like, I was just like, yo, just to experience that for someone was so amazing. Like, I was, yeah. I was like, this, I don't know if I would make that decision. I might have gone to law school, but.
I think it was the high of it. Because I feel like when you jump, even whether you know it or not, it releases something in your brain, some kind of chemical. So that probably was all she needed. Like, this feeling, she never that wants rush. To lose it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And she was just like, I can't put off now, you know. And I know she's going to do great, be great, and whatever she chooses. Yeah,
because at the end of the day, people don't realize everything that's for you will always be there.
Exactly.
Law school not going nowhere. She's not going to get stupider. Like, she can.
Not you, girl, but in reality.
I feel like anybody who got accepted to law school can get accepted again.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a beautiful mindset.
That's,
I like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't look at me like that.
It's the faith you have in the world. I love it.
Yeah.
No, but it was awesome. And so, like, it was just a moment of trusting herself. And then that moment, it wasn't in regards to her swimming abilities. She could swim. It was in her decision-making skills. And that is the moment she decided to trust herself. And I think that's what that trip gave to a lot of people.
Yeah.
For me specifically. And it's just like, again, swimming was not something I was confident of in going into Guatemala. Like, I literally learned to swim a couple of years ago. I still froggy swim. Like, you know, I always tell people, I don't know how to swim. I know how to survive. I know how to get from point A to point B. Don't leave me in the water for too long. Like, you know. But now I'm just so much more. And when there was an opportunity to go into the water, I jumped. I took it. Because I'm like, your girl is not going to miss out. And I think I mentioned this a few podcast episodes ago where I was in Greece. And there was, you know, an activity where you're like rubbing mud on a volcano. And I missed out on that because I couldn't swim. The instructor said, if you can't swim, don't get in this water because I'm not saving you. And you don't got to tell me once.
Right. Shout out to him.
He said, forget life jackets.
Yeah, he know his truth. He said, I'm not saving you.
Yeah, he said it. He was believe just like, somebody. If you can't swim without a life jacket, don't get in. And listen to me, I didn't even take my shoes off.
Yeah.
I just sat.
Yeah.
But it was also disheartening because I'm watching everybody live and it was just so thrilling. And I was like, I can't believe this is stopping me right now. And that was when I really pushed myself. And that trip was in 2018. So I started to learn to swim 2018, 2019 because that was towards the end of the summer.
Yeah.
So I'll say the summer of 2019 is when I really started to learn how to swim. And it's now 2023. So it really wasn't that long ago. 2020, there was no swimming happening. So, in reality, I'm still such a baby when it comes to swimming. So, the fact that I did that, to me, was like...
It's major.
Yeah. It was, again, I had no other reason or no other thing but to trust myself. And I just knew that I would make it out.
That's really special.
Yeah.
You know, that I learned how to swim for Grenada.
Awesome.
I literally took lessons because I knew
that.
Everything I wanted to do in Grenada. And because I didn't get to do all of it this trip, I know I have to add it.
Of course.
Yeah, I just have to go back. And I didn't stamp my passport, so that's another reason.
Didn't stamp your passport?
No, I went to the machine. The machine doesn't stamp it. The person stamps it.
Look at you trying to get ahead of the line.
Yeah, I was trying to get ahead of the line and I lost my stamp. Well, now I need a whole new passport.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, but that's fine. But that's the reason. Like, I knew I didn't want to miss out on any more of those things. I'm always the, I'm going to just stay on the boat. I'm always the, I'm going to just, it's fine. And some people are content with that.
This is a survival
skill. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a survival skill at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If, God forbid, something happens, I need to know how to swim. Like, it's so important to me. And when I go back, I can't wait to do all of the crazy things that people think that first-time swimmers can't do, like scuba diving and snorkeling and things like that. No, I will.
That's exciting.
I can't wait.
That is so exciting. And you know what? You gotta commend yourself because people way too often just accept their limitations.
Yeah. And that's why I really don't talk about it as often because it's like, that's not how I live my life. Yeah. Those limiting beliefs don't stop me from anything. It's like, I'm afraid. Oh, are you...
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I
terrified.
I think people think fear means no.
Yeah.
And that's not what fear means. You know, you have to ask yourself, why are you afraid? Where is this fear coming from? What can you do with this fear? Exactly. But Fear should not stop you. Fear is essentially, an instinct. It's an instinct, a survival skill. If you're feeling fearful, you gotta assess the situation and see where the fear is coming from. And like you said, if it's irrational, it's like, nah, fuck it, we could do it.
Yeah.
But if there's ration behind this fear,
there's a reason for it.
Yeah, but I too often you see people letting their fear stop them, and it's not even in stuff like swimming. It can just be simple making the decision or applying for this or applying for that or talking to someone.
Yeah.
What's
the worst that could happen?
That's what I ask people on a daily basis. And even when the worst happens, what are you going to do about it after? Like, let's say the worst does happen.
Yeah.
Then what? You just have to deal. You really just have to deal. And, yeah. And a lot of the times, our worst happened so many times, and it wasn't really even that bad.
Yeah. Because in retrospect, you look at it like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
We put more emotion on the idea of something than actually trying it to see what it does.
Yeah.
And so, for me, again, just not living in that fear. And again, I've never been one to live in a fear. You can acknowledge the fear, but what is living in it going to do for you?
Right.
It's just that it debilitates you. So, yeah, that was a really big moment for me, guys, just being able to jump in that water.
How did you get out? Because I know the current was, like, going. Did you
At some point, the current stopped. It slowed down.
Oh.
And then, like, there was, like, the ground I told you I was looking for. It was there. And then you just kind of like, walked yourself out. You did a little more swimming and then you walked yourself out.
Okay.
But most of the swimmers, they then douche. They were doing two hands, head turning, foot paddling. I was froggy swimming my way through
No,
life.
That's the vibe.
I want to learn how to do that. But the way I swim, I realize it's strong enough to, if I can survive that current, that's good enough swimming.
You swam in the actual body of water that's connected to a bigger body of water. That's no small feat.
When was that?
That.
Oh,
all the bodies of water are connected. At least I think so. But you
talking about when was this?
You not no baby pool swimmer. You not no, no eight footer,
I can
bro.
Swim. I swam
and there was nothing under you to hold you up.
Yeah, and I did that a few times.
That's what I'm saying.
I couldn't feel the water a few times. The only time I was swimming and I was scared is when I was with the farmer that I met,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, yeah, there's a possibility of alligators being in here. I said, sir. He was like, there's a 99.9 chance that it wouldn't happen, but I'm just letting you know. I said, well, now I'm scared.
Mm.
Now I'm scared.
Yeah.
So I was like,
turn this
freaking
boat
myself
around.
Out. There was no boat. It was where it was where we were living.
Oh, okay.
In the water, okay. But yeah, so it was great. I think that was my biggest thing. Another thing that I took note of, and I've always took note of it in a different light, but this time I saw it even wider, was the lack of, how do I say this, accommodation for Black travelers.
Yeah.
I already knew, the rate in which white people, people from the Asian community and, Latin community and Black community, travel is just not the same. But it just shows that there's just no accommodation for Black people. There's no consideration. There's nothing. And it was hard.
Yeah.
There was one point I felt so ugly. I felt so freaking ugly. Because traveling for long periods of time, you don't have the same maintenance that you have when you're home.
People don't realize that.
It's
a lot.
And being a Black woman with Black hair, it is a big thing.
You're gonna have to figure it out.
And I'm like, I'm explaining. I didn't really explain to people how I felt, but it's just like I just knew people wouldn't understand it because I sound like I'm complaining. But it's not just about, just doing my hair. Like, my hair is a big part of how I express myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like where it's like without my hair I don't feel pretty. No, I know I'm a beautiful person, but my hair is an expression. And the fact that I went, guys, and I did a really nice style. I did my little braids and my beads at the bottom, and that's a whole different story for another day. And it was great, but after a while, I needed to do my hair because it was looking raggedy to me, and I wasn't feeling my best, and I was raised on presentation. You don't look good for other people. You look good for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You present yourself in a manner you would like to be seen.
Meanwhile, everybody else around you, like, you look good, girl.
I was just stop.
You look like the Black girl that don't have Black friends.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I said I look like
I went to an all-white high school.
Yeah.
An all-white private high school.
And everybody know the girls we talking about. Everybody
have
that
in
person.
The Black community knows. And I think I made a joke on Instagram, and I think a few people didn't get it, and I deleted it. because it sounded a bit racist. And I was just like, guys.
It's not, though.
It's not. It's not.
Like, you just, it's a vibe, you piece.
Yes. Like, it's like.
You look unkept. I did.
I felt unkept. And I didn't feel confident about myself. It's not that I cared about external validation.
Yeah.
It was just like, damn, I really want to do my hair. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was on FaceTime with one of my friends and I was looking for a hairbrush. We were on the phone for at least 2 hours and I couldn't find a hairbrush in any one of the stores. It's to the point in brush you scrub the tubs with.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I might have to buy one of these.
Yeah.
I bought one of them, but I didn't use it.
You make do.
But I was just like, at this point, am I really going to have to brush my hair with this? And the answer was like, if I took my hair out, yes. This is exactly what I have to do.
You have to make do. I completely understand.
And it was just so frustrating because I was just like, there's just no... And like, even something simple as the shower... Yeah. The rainforest shower. A black woman with a wig, a nice wig.
Yeah.
A black woman with her hair done. Even if it's her natural hair. If I just twisted my hair. Who is standing under this? Now I'm showering with a crooked neck.
I saw that in Grenada. My resort had the rain shower in Grenada. And I complained. I said, this is for our white counterparts.
Absolutely.
This is not for me. Why is this rain shower here?
And if you're doing it, it has to be the one that turns. That's insane, yo. And it was down to the soap. The soap was the basic body face shampoo. It was all in one.
Six.
And I was just like, this is how I know you guys don't know about the black community. This is how I know you don't care about our skin. Because how am I supposed to put this on my skin? Yeah. Like, I have my own soap and stuff. But, like, towards the end of my trip, my little soap bar ran out.
It's finished, yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, I'm not about to buy a new soap. Because I'm about to leave in 2 days. Yeah. Like, so I'm going to have to use this hostel soap. And I love the hostel. But I'm just like, I don't blame you guys. But it just showed that, one, you guys don't get enough black visitors.
Probably none.
And two, they get a few. But, two, there's no accommodation. Why would they need to accommodate for people they don't know about? It was a very isolating experience being a black person traveling.
No, it always is.
Unless you're with your group of people, it's very isolating. And then another thing, because there's another black person around does not mean we will be brethren.
Yeah.
You know?
Not all skin folk is kin folk.
Regardless, even if we kiki with each other, we don't always... Maybe we just don't want to hang out with each other. And there was an understanding within us. But everyone around felt like, okay, if that's another black person, y'all will be besties, right? No.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
Not really.
That's just not how that works.
It's not.
It's the same thing where you would just assume, like, girls will all kiki together because we're girls in a group full of men. Why would you assume that?
Exactly.
Maybe she likes unicorns and I like dragons. Like, why would you assume that we would like each other?
Yeah. It was a lot of understanding. Like, as much as people like to be like, it's not about race, it's not about this. Like, the black experience is such a unique one where it's like, a lot of my other racial counterparts did not have to worry about their hair the way I did.
Yeah.
Regardless of what your race is. Yeah. Whether you're Latin, whether you're from the Asian community, whether you're some type of white country, y'all all really was just washing out here in that rainforest with no worries.
No worries at all. I think every black traveler would probably have this idea in their head because you know you came over there with braids, but you spend enough time there, them braids is going to be a little crusty.
Especially if I'm in the water.
Yeah, so you know you have to have a backup style in mind or something.
To take out the braids, to do your hair, there's a story. I'm not trying to explain myself. It was a lot.
The explanations.
I wasn't given it.
You know, I was forced to at one point because I stayed in Japan for... So a few weeks, I was forced to, but I was really, really grateful that the time that I had to, I was also paired with another black girl. Mm. And she kind of understood it. So we're literally in Kyoto and I have to change my hair. The locks is not locking no more. The locks is...
They're a little loose.
They're falling out at this point. So I'm like, this is fine. This is why I brought the wig. The shake and go is here for me. It's a little bang. It's going to get me through my next 2 weeks here.
Yeah.
Taking out my locks, explaining that to my Japanese family would be torture. Because now it's a language barrier. Now I have to explain to you why my hair's falling out. I'm like, this is crazy. So I was really, really grateful that I had another black girl there. And I didn't have to worry about that. So it was like an overnight trip. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let me take it out today. Yeah. This overnight trip will be my day to redo my hair, come out fresh.
Yeah, like, I think at one point I spoke to one person, and I was just like, oh, you know, I really don't feel my best. Like, I really don't look my best. And they were like, well, you know, babe, everyone who travels for a long time is not their best. I'm like, I'm sitting there looking at this person like,
baby, you look decent. Right.
I can tell what your best is by looking at you. This is nowhere near my best.
Baby, you don't even know.
I'm giving 2 and I'm a 15. Like, you know, like...
Like, baby, let me get my eyebrows.
let me get myself together.
Baby, let me show you how these edges really end.
I'm saying, like, you know? And, like, and I was even thinking, like, you know, because I do want to go back and I want to travel and do more long-term traveling. I'm like, how am I going to manage my hair? Because I want my natural hair out. Like, mm-hmm. I love the braids for the trip, but I don't want to always have to put in braids. I like switching my hair up. You know, the braids were limiting in a sense where, like,
you can't put anything
I'm tired
over
of
it.
This half up, half down. I'm tired of putting, like, 2 little braids to the front and having them be my little antennas. Like, I'm tired of the low ponytail because it's the same style regardless. To other people, to the people with straighter hair. See, I gathered my words. To the people with straighter hair who has the same hairstyle every day and who be like, oh, I'll put my hair up today and that's, like, cool for them. No. I can't understand it.
Just no.
I can't understand it. I'm a wigs, weaves, braids, you know, like, everything.
Different
there's so
color,
much
different texture,
right,
different
there's
everything.
There's so much variation to
it's art.
My expression.
You're literally walking art.
And I was given a black pencil and a 2x2 notepad to do my artwork on. Like, I'm used to the 64 color crayon box. You know, I'm used to the fancy easel, whatever they call it.
Yep.
I'm used to the different dimensions. Mm-hmm. And I was given a pencil and said, here, damn.
Right.
Like, that's really what I was given.
Right.
But overall, like, I didn't let it stop me, but it is something that is the truth as, you know, traveling as a black woman. You know, another thing was just the fascination, the looks. Like, I didn't mind it, but what I started to mind was people putting their hands in my hair.
Yeah.
It's
there should be some kind of universal boundary at this point.
No, but there, because remember, I'm in places where black people are foreign to them.
Yeah, of
my
course.
Beads, no matter the culture, no matter the race, no matter the religion, there was so much confusion, there was so much questions, no matter... It was people from Europe. It was people from America. It was people, the locals. Yeah. Everyone was so fascinated. And I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not explaining this to you again. Like, I just, it got to the point where I went from
Arthur
understanding.
Fist.
Oh my God, it was 2 of them.
Yeah.
It was in one fist. It was both. And it's like, I understood the fascination. And I think I had more compassion for the locals than I did and the tourists and the travelers. Because the locals truly didn't know. Like, they tried to ask me in their own language, what are those? But it's when people's was touching without asking. Like, it went from understanding to, okay, I'm getting annoyed. And I understand you, this is your first time touching my hair. But this isn't my first time experiencing this boundaries, this barrier.
Yeah.
And, like, I really want, I made sure I kept composure. Because one, you know, there was someone I spoke to prior to starting this trip. And she was saying, like, hey, you know, one of the things that she does as a black woman is... always try to represent black people well. While it's not her responsibility, for a lot of people, this is the first, second, or third time interacting with a black person.
And probably going to be there only.
And, yeah, probably. And because there's already such a negative stereotype, she really tries to, you know, show that this is not every black person. And I understood what she meant. Like, I've experienced it while traveling before, but when you're by yourself, it's a different type of processing that emotion. And so for me, I was just making sure that I wasn't getting, you know, like, I was annoyed, but I wasn't showing it too much. I think there was only one time where my annoyance slipped, but it wasn't too like, oh my God, stop fucking touching me. It was just more so like, I just moved her hand from my hair and walked faster. And, like, somebody was like, oh, like, you know, how do you feel about people touching your hair? Because, like, you know, the little girl was touching your hair. And I was like, yeah, no, it's been happening a lot. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little frustrating to deal with. And, like, I let the conversation end right there. Like, I didn't make a scene out of it, but... it got so annoying.
Yeah.
And the fact that I knew I couldn't respond was even such a limiting thing. Well, yeah, I could have responded, but there goes the black woman.
There goes another, the angry black woman.
You know, like, and it's like, it's so frustrating because I represent my community, but other races don't represent their community.
Not at all.
My one action I know will affect the next black woman that walks into this place.
Look at her. She's probably a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like... part of that was just so tough because I knew there was a weight that no one else I was with had to carry. And it's like, these are some of the things you travel as a Black person. And for me as a Black woman, that it's like, it's unspoken. Everyone thinks it's all peachy keen. And as much as I love the people that I travel with, and shout out to y'all, you guys were really awesome. No one understood that experience. And I didn't take the time to share it because I will process myself and I will talk about it with my friends. But I'm not about to sit y'all down and teach y'all. And on top of it, I don't want to put y'all in a comfortable place.
Yeah.
We just met each other. Why am I talking to you about my Black experience? Y'all even ask.
I was about to say, if they ask, that's different. I
feel right. Like I'm not about to vent to y'all. They're going to look at each other like, this is awkward. You know, like,
you know, with the accent.
Because it really would be like that, you know?
Like, yikes.
Absolutely. Schneiser. Like, come on.
Seems like they go through a lot, Tom.
You know, so I was just like, you know, I had to keep it to myself. And yeah. These are things I'm processing while being around people. Because at this point in my trip, I am around a lot of people because I'm in the hostels and whatever the case is. It was a lot. It was a lot. There was stimulation overload. There was just so much. At one point, I only missed my culture. I didn't miss home. I just missed being around people who understood me.
Yeah.
I missed having my products at my accessibility. And I'm literally thinking, like, how am I going to deal with this when I'm traveling long-term? Because I'm not carrying a 32-ounce bottle of conditioner and shampoo in my bag. I'm not doing that. You know, I'm going to have to find places. And one thing I do like is seeing products of certain places, because you can get some real gems hidden in certain places. So, like, I wouldn't mind that. But I also know, like, there's some places that, again, I couldn't find a brush. If I can't find a brush, what makes you think I'm finding a product that would tend to my hair?
Right.
You know, so it was a lot. And yeah. But on the bright side, I had so many groundbreaking therapeutic moments with strangers.
Yeah.
That I was just like, I can see myself doing this.
This is what you do it for.
That I can, like, see myself.
Like, that's what you do it for.
For one person in particular, I met him and we were just going around the room talking because we were just all in an icebreaker. I was in a co-working space. We just finished working. I was about to go get dinner. He's like, no, come. So it was like a group of 8-9 of us talking and we're all sharing what we do. And I'm noticing that he's like skipping over himself. And I keep going back to him and he's like, skip over himself. It's a Black man. And I'm like, no, what do you do? And I knew he was a transplant. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, you skipping over yourself. You work for the hostel, don't you?
Oh,
he did. Wow. He did. But, you know, like, when he finally got into it and he's talked about his life and, like, all he knew was travel, he doesn't know one place.
To stay in one spot.
It was so much questions. And he looked at me. He's like, you have questions, don't you? And I'm like, it's not questions that I have for my benefit. I have questions for your benefit.
Yeah.
And, like, he allotted me the time and we got into it. I asked him so many questions and it was questions for him to answer, not for me to know, but for him to get into.
For himself, yeah.
And, like, we just kept on going back and forth. And, you know, like, this man was in his 40s. Didn't look like it. When they say Black don't crack,
yeah, honey, I mean, that man was porcelain. You'll never be able to tell.
It was giving we're the same age. Yeah. And I was like, sir. When he said 40, I kept it together. But I was like, whoa. Yep. You know, because I'm like, no, I know my people don't crack.
Yeah.
But no, I was like, whoa. But then I was just like, you know, like, we had a couple of these dialogues and it was just so great because he's done therapy before. He did all of this before, but I think this conversation meant so much to him where it's like, I think I helped solve some stuff. And he did say it. He did say it. Like, he was so grateful for the conversation.
I think that was the goal. And this is for you, not for me.
Yeah, like, it wasn't for me because I felt like it was a burning desire to speak to him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't from a place of curiosity. It was just, I was doing so much formulations and calculations that I'm like, no, I need to speak to you. And so we did that talk and it was just so mind-blowingly awesome. And, you know, I even gave him homework. That man has lifelong homework
for
me.
You have a
and I'm checking
session.
Up on, I'm checking up on him. I already told him. So I had to go back. It's actually, what day is it? Okay, so he should be where I said he should be.
Yeah.
Where he said he was going to be. So I'm going to hit him up in a few days to see if he's there. But then, going to Costa Rica next year. He's one of the people I have to visit.
Oh, because he's going.
He should be living there.
Oh, nice.
He should be.
Nice.
We're going to see if he's doing what we spoke about.
Right.
And it's like, it's so awesome because I'm like, no, you're my friend. We're friends now. And like, you know, like, It was just so cool. I don't want to get into too much of what we spoke about, but it was just such an amazing moment. And I had a few of those moments where, like, I just felt compelled to have conversations with certain people. It was very few. And when people found out I'm a therapist, they were just so like,
that's why it's so easy to talk
therapy.
To you.
Let's therapy. And I'm just like, girl, do I look like I'm in a... I have a drink in one hand and a blunt in the other. Yeah. Do I look like I'm in a therapy mood? You know? And that's why sometimes I was hesitant on saying what I was. But then there were other times I said what I was and people didn't know. And it was the most refreshing thing in the world. And
really?
I was
like, oh my because God. Therapy's not needed in other countries besides America?
That it's not needed. And that was a big thing for me. It's not... The awareness is not there. When you don't know you have a problem, why would there be a solution?
Okay.
And I was asking people from different cultures, from different barriers. I was like, what does stress look like for you? I couldn't use mental health. I had to break it down. What does stress look like for you? How do you guys solve your problems? When you're hurting, but it's not physical, how does that feel? Or what do you guys do? Like, I was asking about different places, different... Everywhere I went, I was asking these questions. And it shed light on the fact that mental health is a worldwide issue.
Yeah.
You can dress it up. You can put on different shoes, you can put on makeup, but mental health is mental health. There's different names, terms, whatever the case is. I don't necessarily want to go down the American terminology. I would like to meet people where they are, yeah. where they're at, and learn about their terminology. But people are struggling worldwide.
Yeah.
People are truly going through what we call depression, what we call anxiety, what we call this, what we call that. They may not call it that.
No, yeah.
And a lot of them don't know that. Going back to, like, you know, growing up in a Caribbean household, if you're depressed, that's just laziness. If you're anxious, you're just in two in your head.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about it. Duh, it's that simple. It's like that, but even worse for so many people. And I was just like, ugh, I want to travel. I want to continue to talk, outreach, help, do. And the small conversations I had with people, I hope they took what I got, you know, from this conversation. It showed me, like, this isn't just my job. And I knew it was not just my job, but it really felt good to do it on a larger scale. This isn't just my job. This is me.
Yeah.
This is my contribution to the world. And that was another thing I wanted to figure out. How can I help people? I'm doing all this traveling. And again, somebody once told me traveling is such a selfish thing. It's one of the most selfish things we can do as human beings. And I didn't understand what they said, what they meant until I started this trip. And I was just like, ugh, I get why they call it selfish. Because all you're doing is taking, whether
taking
it's a beautiful view,
whether culture.
It's a culture,
yeah,
whether it's an experience, all you're just taking from it.
Yeah.
What are you leaving to that place?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they expressed how they give back when they travel, and it's beautiful. And for me, I wanted to figure out how I could do the same. And I realized that's how I can do the same. I can just be me. I can just talk. I'm not a therapist, or I'm not great at my job because of the schooling,
yeah.
to be quite frank. Because half the shit I do, I don't even know what the original terminology is. I'm great at what I do because I have that connection.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happens, but it just happens naturally. And I want to do more of that with people all around the world. I want, when I go into a place, I'm not seeking for broken people or whatever the case is, but I just want to be open to connect.
Right.
But being open to connect means working on myself, healing myself. And I, you know, this trip also showed me there's so much more for me to work on. There's another level of me to appeal back. There's more of my spirituality that I need to focus on. And I bought some stuff to, like, kind of help guide me.
And recenter.
Yeah, you know, and continue the process, which is why I'm trying to shift up my diet too, because what you put in is what you get out. So, like,
I know.
It's hard.
Cheese is so good.
I don't even mind cheese. I just want to eat cleaner. I feel like there's nothing wrong with cheese.
I mean, American cheese is very processed. We have very processed food here.
Yeah, you know, so it's just like, just kind of eating cleaner. And so that's kind of my goal for myself. I want, by the time I go back out on the road again, that I'm in a space where I'm more open to give me.